Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. On October 7th, 2020, I began my current teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf. Whereupon, safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine health. Listener, if you have missed any part of this teaching or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Now, before we reread our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to once again state for the record that I am purposely reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind, but your spirit. Whereupon, in the future, when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenge and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits." who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy. Verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, but in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded, and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus. And by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, when evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. Verse 17, so that he fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Verse 24 says, he, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed. Glory to God. All of these scriptures and many more like them that we have read and examined throughout this teaching tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, every disease on himself. As a result, we believers do not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. Last week, we completed our examination of the seven redemptive names of Jesus the Christ. And I began to share with you in part my study titled, The Authority of Our Words. This study explains the importance of speaking what I call God talk over our lives and situations that come against us. I would like to remind you of the definition of the word authority from the Webster New College Dictionary. In part, authority means the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, or make final decisions. Please keep this partial definition in mind as we examine the authority God has given Christians through Jesus the Christ. Now let's read from the book of Matthew where we left off. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read verses 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking. Verse 18, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare, lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow, what a powerful passage this Matthew chapter 18 says about who we are and the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 18. I want to read the last portion of the scripture that says, "Whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven." Family, this is something to shout about, that our words create life in this earth realm and they create death. We read those two statements in the book of Proverbs last time we were together. But again, this passage is being spoken by our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. And he's telling us that we got the authority, the power to speak into this earth realm life by using the Word of God. And we also have the responsibility to speak death. And that responsibility is based on words that are contrary to God's word. Let us be so very careful, family, to see that our words line up with God's word. Then in verse 19, it says, "If two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." So this prayer of agreement is a powerful prayer. You could be in agreement with your husband, your wife, with your children, with your mother, your father, with a church member, whoever it is, as long as you are in one mind, in agreement, and the scripture or faith confession is based on God's word, his will for his children, it says that his Father, Jesus' Father, our living God in heaven, will do it. Family, that is outstanding news for the new believer. We are the ones responsible for the matters of this world because God made us the rulers of this world. If we do not like what is going on in our life, our community, or world, then we must be the ones to change it through the authority God has given us in Jesus. God will only intervene in our matters when we ask him and based on our covenant promises found in the Holy Bible. Individually, we have been given the authority to create life or death to our life. In short, you are what you say. Please turn to the book of Proverbs. We are going to read three validating scriptures to this point. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "An evil man is dangerously ensnared, trapped by the transgressions," that's evil talk, "of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble." Again, those words that are contrary to God's will for mankind, that are contrary in terms of the goodwill, that will ensnare you and trap you and cause you to die. We don't want those words coming out of our mouth. All that negative gossip, hatred, jealousy, racism. Don't use those words. Use the word of God to change the circumstances of life, not just for you, but your loved ones, your community, this world. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13, one verse, verse number 3. "The one who guards his mouth, thinking before he speaks, protects his life. The one who opens his lips wide and chatters without thinking comes to ruin." Boy, those are two opposites, family. Again, he who guards his mouth, thinking before he speaks, protects his life. So when a situation arises, you receive a bad report from the doctor, from the local bank, from a family member, that's not the time to talk about the problem. That's the time to speak the word of life, God's word, over the circumstances. Remember, your words create life or they create death. Last chapter that we want to go to in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs 18. And we're going to read one verse, verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words." Death and life. So you can bring death to your life or you can bring life to your life. And you have the power or authority in your words. Now, notice that it says death and life. So that means that you could bring life or you could speak death into your life. So we are responsible for what is going on in our lives. Yes, there are things that are going on in the world that we cannot change because man wants to do evil. And so you can't force anyone to do good. But I'll tell you what, you can keep that evil assignment from getting in your life and causing you pain and suffering. This is why we want to speak life to every situation that comes up against us. These verses let us know without a doubt that our words must speak the solution and not the problem. And in case you are uncertain as to where to find the solution to all of your problems, you only need to open and study the Holy Bible, and in particular, the New Testament from the book of Romans to the book of Jude. These are the books of the Bible that have given born-again Christians clear instruction of who we are in Christ, what we possess, and what we can do in Jesus. Our Heavenly Father has made it very clear for His children how to live victorious spirit, soul, and body through His living Word. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God as our high priest, interceding on our behalf. In modern terms, Jesus is our advocate or attorney in the high court of heaven. But we must give Him ammunition, words of faith, to declare to the Heavenly Father. Please turn to the book of Hebrews, starting with chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as Savior. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect, as we are, yet without committing any sin." Verse 16, "Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God, gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help on time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment." What a blessing that is, family, to know that we can come before the Heavenly Father and petition for mercy and a solution to whatever issue of life comes up against us. Let's go back to verse 14. I want to read the last part of verse 14 that says, "Let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as Savior. Now, I'm going to give you a little warning in just a few minutes about why we have to stand on our faith confession even when we do not see a change yet. More on that shortly. But just keep that in mind, family. Verse 15, just the first part of that verse says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations." In other words, Jesus has been there and He has the victory, and He is about to show you how to be victorious. If you don't already know, it is based on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible to be spoken out loud by His children so that the situations of life can change to life and not death. Verse 16, I want to read that whole scripture one more time. Listen carefully, because this passage, this one verse, sums it up so that we know that we got the authority, power to make changes in this earth realm that line up with God's word. It says, "Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace," that is the throne of God, "gracious favor, with confidence and without fear." That's wonderful that we can come before our living God and we can come to Him as His children and approach His throne with love, of course, but with boldness, knowing that He hears us, and when He hears us, the solution is on its way. It says, "So that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help on time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right time." So we don't have to be fearful when you hear reports that are contrary to God's word that could affect you. All you need to do is speak the word of life over the situation. Turn that situation to the Lord and see the grace that's going to abound as a result. What Satan meant for evil, God has already changed for good. Amen. Now turn to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 7, we're going to read verses 22 through 25. Starting with verse 22, it says, "And so, because of the oath, greater strength and force, Jesus has become the certain guarantee of a better covenant, a more excellent and more advantageous agreement, one that will never be replaced or annulled. The former successive line of priests, on the other hand, existed in greater numbers because they were each prevented by death from continuing perpetually in office. But on the other hand, Jesus holds His priesthood permanently and without change because He lives forever." Verse 25, "Therefore, He, Jesus, is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to intercede and intervene on our behalf with God." All right, praise the Lord. Family, we don't have to be fearful. What we have to do is exercise the authority that God has given us. Let's go back to verse 22. I want to read the last part of that verse. It says, "Jesus has become the certain guarantee of a better covenant, a more excellent and more advantageous agreement, one that will never be replaced or annulled." So those promises contained in the book of Romans through the book of Jude, we can count on those promises. We talked about blood covenant and how God has placed Himself above His word. So we know that He does not lie, and His word is forevermore established on His life. So we can count on Him. Then in verse 24, it says, the last part says, Jesus holds his priesthood permanently and without change because he lives forever. Oh, this is something to shout about, family. When we can count on Jesus' work, his death, life, and resurrection, knowing that because he completed his assignment, we have life for all eternity. So we don't have to be worried, stressed out, anxious. What we have to do is find out what God's word says and use the authority that Jesus has given us through his word, his life. Amen. Last verse, verse 25, I want to read that one more time. I think it's very important for us to really take hold of this information so that we can speak boldly the word of God over our lives. It says, therefore, he, Jesus, is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him. Are you a Christian? Have you accepted the gift of salvation? If you have, you can come boldly to God through Jesus. Family, I'm so sorry. I am out of time, but please return next week as we continue our study, our covenant right for healing. Amen. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.